5:20, and this is the KDLL Evening News for Monday, August 3rd, on 91.9 FM, Kenai, Soldotna, listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula. I'm Ashlyn O'Hara. Thanks for tuning in. Coming up, whale biologists and marine pilots in Southeast Alaska will soon teach mariners how to avoid hitting humpback whales. But first, the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District is considering limits on how much time students can spend using screens in the classroom. School board members got their first look Monday at a pair of proposed policies laying out screen time caps for each grade level. Superintendent Clayton Holland is proposing the policy. It's the first time the district is limiting screen time in this way.
A lot of the school board members have expressed a desire to put some parameters on the amount of screen time that our students have in our buildings and make sure that it's purposeful or intentional use of that time, that it has a clear meaning and something that can't be met necessarily through the instruction of an educator.
Holland says the policies are informed in part by school districts around the country and by input from about a dozen district principals and administrators. The policies say technology should be used intentionally to enhance learning while preserving the, quote, relationships, instruction, and learning experiences that have the greatest impact on student success, end quote. The proposed caps apply specifically to elementary students during what the district is calling routine instructional use. Holland says that's regular classroom learning when students use personal devices like a laptop or tablet to engage with instruction. It does not include statewide assessments, distance education, or special education plans, among other exceptions. And it does not limit teachers from using presentation tools, like the smart board panels found in most district classrooms. Holland says the exceptions are important.
If somebody reads this, they'll see if there's a certain report you're doing or something outside of that, it could fit in outside of these parameters. So built-in flexibility. But going overall, the overall intent, again, is intentional use and not a default for what we're doing across the board.
The policies also say different grade levels require different technology policies. Kindergarten through fifth grade students should mostly receive teacher-directed non-digital instruction, the policy says. It proposes capping instructional screen time at up to 15 minutes per day for kindergarten and first grade students, and increases for each subsequent grade level up to fifth grade. The district is not proposing a per grade level screen time cap for 6th through 12th grade students because instruction varies so widely. But the policy clearly says technology should not serve as the default method of instruction. The policy designates school principals as the primary enforcer of the new rules, tasking them with monitoring technology use in their schools, communicating expectations with families, and reviewing best practices with staff. Will Shervinak is the principal at Kenai Middle School and supports the proposed changes.
And I really like the fact that this is a delineation that really defines our district and our ethos and our the way that we think about high-quality instruction and relationships and the focus on here in the district.
Board members seem generally supportive of the policies, though some said it could be more concise or restrictive in some areas. Micah Van Buskirk represents the Eastern Kenai Peninsula. She thinks the policy should also restrict the use of personal devices during free time during the school day.
I think that's a really important broad philosophy. I know it's plugging kids into phones or movies or TVs during lunchtime is a problem in some areas.
Both of the policies presented Monday are subject to additional review by the school board's policy committee. The policies also require full approval by the board before going into effect. Alaska aviation experts and air carriers are pushing for improving and maintaining existing weather stations instead of only focusing on building new infrastructure at an aviation safety summit hosted by state and federal officials in Anchorage on Friday. Several dozen representatives from air carriers and associations from across Alaska participated in the summit. Senator Dan Sullivan led the roundtable. He pointed to the state's high rate of plane crashes and related fatalities, and said weather stations that report current conditions are crucial. He says while the state plans to build more than 150 new weather stations, local air carriers are frustrated they often can't use existing ones.
We are getting infrastructure, weather systems in particular, throughout the state. That's great. But one of the outcomes of this summit is we currently have weather systems and aviation lighting and things in rural communities that it takes months. And to be honest, in certain cases, even years to fix. That's unacceptable.
Early last week, a widespread outage affected dozens of weather stations across the state. Industry experts say that on any given day, up to 20 existing stations in Alaska are not reporting. Sullivan said one idea that came out of the discussion was to contract local transportation staff to fix those stations instead of waiting for Federal Aviation Administration staff to from out of state. Another idea was to create a spare part depot in Alaska to speed up fixing stations. And Sullivan said stakeholders spoke about creating a better way to communicate issues and outages to the FAA. In addition to automated weather data, pilots also use flight service stations to get information about weather and runway conditions and for emergency assistance. Right now, at least 4 flight service stations across Alaska are closed, and more are operating at limited capacity as a result of the FAA placing employees at those stations on administrative leave. Jennifer Homendy is the National Transportation Safety Board chairwoman. She says flight station closures are a safety concern for pilots who rely on them, especially when weather infrastructure is not reporting.
We do need those back up and running. Totally understand that there were issues with personnel. That's besides the point. The answer is not to close it. The answer is to fix it. Bring somebody else in then and continue to provide that service, which is a lifeline to pilots that are operating right here in Alaska.
An FAA official said at the meeting that the affected stations will remain closed for the immediate future and that the agency is looking at several options to provide redundancy in services, but nothing has been decided. The roundtable happened a day after the NTSB released a final report on the deadly 2025 Bering airplane crash. The agency issued recommendations for the carriers and the FAA in its report, many of which they have issued before. Those include training for pilots to recover from a stall and improving safeguards to make sure they have necessary safety protocols as they expand operations. Homendy says the NTSB hopes they will be implemented this time around. And finally, a new class developed by whale biologists and marine pilots in Southeast Alaska will soon teach mariners how to avoid hitting humpback whales when sailing large ships through the region. The training comes as the state's cruise industry booms. KTOO's Alex Solomon reports.
Humpback whales migrate thousands of miles from their winter breeding grounds in Hawaii and Mexico to feed in Alaska's rich waters over the summer. And that's when ship traffic surges, with hundreds of cruises and whale-watching tours. This summer, some ports in Southeast expect to see a record number of cruise ship passengers. Chris Gabriel is a whale biologist at Glacier Bay National Park. She and her colleagues published a scientific paper in 2019 demonstrating that large ships can maneuver around whales. Their results inspired them to make a class that shows mariners how.
It teaches them about whale behavior and how to maybe help predict where the whales are going to move, and then suggest strategies to avoid collisions.
In Alaska, it's illegal for vessels to get within 100 yards of humpback whales, speed near them, block their path, or disrupt their behavior. But it's still common for ships to hit whales, causing severe and sometimes fatal injuries. Gabriel says the day-long class will kick off at the University of Alaska Southeast in Ketchikan this August. The plan is to make the training modules available anywhere that can run them.
Any maritime training facility could offer it anywhere at no cost.
That means cruise employees from abroad who plan to sail in Southeast could soon take the class in their home countries. Gabriel says the curriculum incorporates computer simulations that use data collected by marine mammal observers aboard large cruise ships that sailed through Glacier Bay National Park.
So in the simulations, we try to authentically portray whale behavior in terms of the movement and dive patterns.
The curriculum is also infused with the knowledge of local marine pilots who help large ships navigate through local waters.
Pilots have responsibility to the state of Alaska with our licensing that we take care of life, property, and the environment. Whales are lives, and whales are also part of the environment. So there you go. It's a responsibility that I believe we all have.
That's Rich Preston with the Southeast Alaska Pilots Association, calling in from the Discovery Princess docked in Hoonah. He's been a marine pilot in Southeast for 16 years and helped Glacier Bay scientists develop the class. Preston says students will practice maneuvering around whales with computer simulations that get progressively more difficult throughout the day. 4 students can take the class at a time, role-playing a typical bridge team of a large ship. Pilot, officer of the watch, helmsman, and lookout.
The lookout says, I see a whale, Everybody looks in that direction where the lookout spotted the whale. And then a command is given to try and maneuver the ship. And then it takes time for a vessel to turn. It just doesn't turn on a dime. It's not like a car.
Preston says that time lag means the bridge team must work together to make good decisions quickly.
I would say that most of the time it is possible to do something. It all comes down to, quite honestly, how far away is the whale when we spot it and how fast is the vessel going?
He says cruise ships can reach a top speed of about 22 knots, but they're typically going slower, around 15 knots. Preston says pilots slow down to about 10 knots in areas with whales. Bridge teams typically know where those areas are by using Whale Alert, an app that maps crowdsourced whale sightings. Right now, the class is specific to humpback whales in Southeast, but Gabriel says it could be adapted to other species and places in the future. In Juneau, I'm Alex Solomon.
And that'll be all for tonight's KDLL Evening News. We had help from Aliona Niden in Anchorage and from Alex Solomon in Juneau. You can re-listen to this newscast and find our other stories online at kdll.org. I'm Ashlyn O'Hara. Have a great night.